What are the two numbers you should really care about as a digital product-based business owner? What data should you be tracking in order to really move the needle in your business? And how can you have a data-driven mindset and stop making emotional decisions? In this week's episode, we are tackling numbers. There are a lot of vanity metrics out there, and I'm going to challenge you to think beyond those. I'm going to share the numbers you should actually care about and how you can use these numbers to make a big difference in your bottom line revenue. That's all coming up in this episode of the Passive Project Podcast. You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. I am so pumped to let you know that we have a brand new live webinar coming your way on January 26th. If you sell an online course, a membership, or any kind of digital product, this is a must-attend event. So go sign up. The link to register is right below this episode in the show notes. And in the live webinar, we are going to be talking about the three critical mistakes that you might be making right now that are resulting in low sales. We're going to talk about what it really takes to grow a six-figure income from digital products. Hint, it's not what you think. And we're going to look at the behind the scenes of how I run my entire digital business so you can copy my system. So that is all coming up live on January 26th. I can't wait to see you there. What is up, you guys? Welcome to the show. And oh my goodness, can you even believe that we are, I don't know, halfway through January already? I feel like the holidays just wrapped up. I kind of feel like I'm barely into business mode yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's taking a minute to really get back into the swing of things. We took like a full 2 weeks off over the holidays. And then even before Christmas, we had just done a week holiday, this kind of random week that we did to Arizona as a family. And so we've been in kind of holiday mode for a while. And I don't know if that's contributing to like my, I don't know, slightly sluggish start to the year. But anyway, if you've also been feeling that, if you've had a kind of a, I don't know, a bit of a wacky start to the new year, if it's like maybe a little more sluggish than you're used to, or I don't know, you haven't like been diving in with vigor like you have in past years, know that you are not alone. I am also there, but I'm slowly but surely getting back into the swing of things here. And we actually have an incredible bunch of stuff ready for you guys that we're working on right now to be released later this month. I'm really excited about all the things that we're working on behind the scenes here. And we've been doing tons of work actually with our students. So we have done a giant makeover to the Passive Project program, which is our signature membership program. And it feels so good. Like, it's kind of like making over a room in your house where, you know, you've been wanting to do it for a long time. You know, it has so much potential. You can like see the vision of what you want it to look like and feel like and all of those good things, but you kind of need to like get the energy to do it. And then, you know, it always like gets crazier and more chaotic and looks more awful like in the in-between before you get to like the after stage, right? And so that's kind of like what we've just been going through with the Passive Project. It was really looking like a hot mess there for a second. I was having to reassure everybody that like, don't worry, this is gonna be amazing, just hang with me. And so now we're coming out the other side and it is so exciting. There's so much incredible content in there. We have such a clear vision of how we're gonna be supporting our members this year and helping them to grow their digital product-based businesses. And anyway, it's all feeling super amazing. So that's kind of what we've been doing for the first little part of this year. And so anyway, in this episode today, what I wanted to do, this isn't going to be a crazy long one, but what I wanted to do today was just to talk about numbers, because we can get really caught up in, I don't know, looking at like our Instagram insights or trying to get a viral video on Facebook or, looking at our number of podcast downloads or our YouTube subscribers or all of the, there's so much data that we could be looking at as business owners, and it can feel overwhelming. And if you've been around here for any length of time, you'll know that I always talk about running your business from a data-driven mindset. And I think it's really important that you kind of have to take that mindset shift. Like, you have to go through that mindset shift as an entrepreneur where you move, like, and everybody does this at kind of a different point in their business journey, but where you transition from making really kind of emotional decisions about your business to making more data-driven decisions, where suddenly you realize, okay, I actually need to be in tune with what the numbers are telling me and what the metrics are telling me in my business and make decisions based on those. And once you start to do that, you start to see that all, like, everything can improve, right? Like, you can really scale your business once you start to come at it from that perspective. And I'm not saying that we have to let go of, like, emotional attachment to our business. That's not what I'm saying. And I think for most of us, like, we're creative entrepreneurs and we want to follow our intuition and we want to be really passionate about what we're doing, and we can do all of that, but you have to do it in conjunction with data and with what the numbers are telling you to do. So that's what I want to talk about a little bit today, is what are the numbers that you should be caring about? And so when you're running a digital product-based business, or if you have just a digital product section of your business, right? Like, let's say you have multiple monetization revenue streams in your business, if you're maybe a service provider or whatever. But for digital products, when you want to grow and scale that business type, there are really two main numbers that you need to care about. And those are, number one, your email list. And I'm going to, like, it is your email list size, but I'm going to preface this by saying, you know, sure, size matters, but it's also the engagement and the quality of your list, because you could have 100,000 people on that email list, but if they're not opening up your emails, if they're not the right target audience for you and your offers, if they don't, you know, if they don't care about what you're saying, there's no point in you having that giant list, right? I'd rather you have 1,000 subscribers of the absolute perfect, like, VIP people who know, like, and trust you and want to buy what you are offering, right? So yes, like, the number that does matter is that your email list size. We always want to be working on growing our email list, but remember, like, with the caveat that we want it to be the right people on that list. So it's kind of a bit of a two-parter, but the number of leads that you are driving onto your email list is one of those key metrics, and that everything you do in business needs to be driven toward increasing that number, right? So if you're out there posting on Instagram, you're out there, I don't know, doing trainings in your free Facebook group, you're creating YouTube videos, maybe you have your own podcast, maybe you're publishing blog posts, whatever it is that you're doing, how is that item growing your email list? How is that piece of effort or piece of content that you're putting out into the world growing your email list? Because you can use all those strategies to grow your email list, but you need to be intentional about it, and you need to create the content from the original goal of using it to grow your email list, right? So don't think of the email list as the afterthought. Think of it as the, like, original foundation goal, and then create your content from there. So email list number, that's the first piece of data that you need to be really, you know, focused on. The second main metric that you need to care about as a digital product-based business owner is your conversion rate. So your conversion rate is the number of people who actually buy your offer. This is where you're making that money, honey, right? This is where you're making the sales. So you could be amazing at growing your email list, and you're using all the strategies and doing all the things and growing this incredible list, but if none of them are converting into buyers, again, no point, right? We're not making money. That's not a business. You need to actually sell your offers. And so again, you can be doing a lot of things that can increase your conversion rate, right? There's lots of tactics and strategies and things you can be doing to increase the number of people who actually buy your offers, whether it's writing better emails, writing emails that are story-based, that connect more deeply with your people. Frankly, just writing consistent emails can increase your conversion rate, right? Often, you know, if you follow like a live launch kind of model in your business and you're live launching products every couple months or whatever, what are you doing in between those launches? Because if you ghost your email list and you're not consistently writing them weekly emails with incredible value, then they're not going to be paying attention when you go and you launch that product, right? And then conversion rates, like, you know, there's so many other pieces of the puzzle that we can look at, like how, you know, your sales page, what's the messaging like on your sales page? How about your offer? Have you crafted an irresistible offer that is, you know, and makes it a no-brainer for somebody to want to purchase, right? There's so many things that we can be doing, these little tweaks that we can be doing to increase our conversion rate. And imagine, let's say you have a conversion rate of 2%. Well, if you can get that 2% to 5% or 10%, that's going to be a giant increase in the number of sales you make and the amount of income you bring into your business without having actually tackled just bringing more traffic and more leads, right? You're just doing better with the traffic and leads that you already have. So see how important that is too. So those are the two main metrics that I want you to be caring about as a digital product-based business owner this year: the number of leads that you're bringing onto your email list and ultimately your conversion rate. How many of those leads are then turning into buyers? So the next thing I wanted to chat about was, like, I just wanted to give you an example of what does it look like to be a data-driven entrepreneur. And one way of, like, kind of looking at this, like, let's run through an example of, let's say that you are doing, this could be a live launch or an evergreen email funnel, right? So it can be either approach. And you know that, if you guys know me, you know that I like a hybrid approach of using both of these as my sort of main strategy for selling my digital products. And it's what we teach inside of the Passive Project, is this hybrid approach of having an evergreen email funnel, like running all the time in the background to bring in new sales and new customers into your business, and then doing live launches, you know, a couple times a year. So let's say that you have done a live launch or you have created an evergreen email funnel and you didn't make sales, okay? So this is often, like, I hear this from people. They're like, oh, you know, my launch, like, I didn't make any sales on my launch, or I tried an evergreen email funnel and it just didn't work for me. And then they make an emotional decision, which is either my product must suck, and so I need to go back to the drawing board and create a new product, or evergreen funnels don't work for me, so I might as well not try because this isn't a strategy that's going to work for me. So see how, like, they're just making these, like, giant kind of emotional decisions based on what they perceive as a failure in their business, when actually, if we were coming at that with a much more, like, data-driven mindset, we're actually going to start to ask ourselves better questions and be able to pinpoint the questions and potentially quote unquote problems so that we can fix them. So let's go through an example. Let's say that somebody did a webinar based live launch or email funnel or evergreen funnel, doesn't matter. But what it consisted of was a webinar and then, like, a follow-up sequence of emails that go out to sell their online course. And, you know, they sell their online course during that open cart period, and then the cart closes after 5 days. So let's say that that is what they had tried. So we could say, okay, no sales have been made, throw our arms up and, like, throw the product out with, you know, and call it a day, or decide that funnels don't work for us and call it a day. But that actually you wouldn't be making kind of the right decision. So What should we be looking at? Well, let's start at the very top of the experience for your prospect. So let's look at where it all started, which was your webinar registration. Okay, so let's say, let's actually look at your webinar registration page and what was the conversion rate on that page, right? How of the people who landed on that page, how many actually opted in to attend your webinar? Because if that landing page opt-in rate is low, well, that's what you need to fix, right? Like there's a problem that you can fix and actually improve and make your funnel work for you. So if that conversion rate was at like 15%, well, that's low, right? That's low. I would like to see your webinar landing page, like registration page, be converting at, 60% or even higher. So what can you be doing in that case? Well, if that number is low, then you can be changing out the graphic on that page, right? Make it more visually enticing. Maybe you need to make simple things like make the button color brighter and push the button up higher on the screen because you have to scroll really far down to get the sign up button. You're going to lose a lot of people, right? People's attention spans are short. Maybe you just need to change the title or the hook of your webinar. Maybe you need to change the bullet points of what people are going to learn on the webinar. Remember, we want to like make it really juicy and enticing for them to want to sign up, right? So maybe it's just a matter about changing the messaging and the copy of those bullet points. Like all of those little things you can be tweaking one at a time and increasing your conversion rate. But if you never look at what your conversion rate is, you're not going to know that that's something that you should be fixing, right? You might be getting tons of traffic to your webinar registration page, but just have a really low conversion rate there. So that's like data point number one is your webinar registration page. Now let's say you have lots of people signing up for your webinar and then you run your webinar and not many people show up, right? Let's say 10% of people who signed up for the webinar actually show up to the webinar. Well, that's low, right? We want to see that at, I would say, 30% or higher, we want people to be showing up live. So if you know that your number there is low, well, again, we've asked a better question, which is how can we increase the likelihood of somebody actually showing up to the webinar? What can we do to do that? And that's a great question. And some potential answers might be, well, maybe they needed more warming before the webinar, i.e., maybe they needed more encouragement and more like content to come their way before the webinar so that they actually were encouraged to join the webinar. So that might look like a little video clip of you where you talk about, again, some of the big benefits and the value that they're going to get by attending the webinar, right? Maybe that's like a 1-minute video clip. It doesn't have to be long. And you put that on the thank you page after they've signed up for the webinar, or you email it to them in an email that comes right after they've signed up for the webinar. If you have a couple of days between when they've signed up for the webinar and when the webinar is going to go live, well, you should be probably emailing them every single day with more of your story, with more of like the transformation you've experienced, with more of the value and benefits that they're going to get from the webinar, and remind them of that so that they're, again, you're just building the excitement of coming to the webinar, right? The other thing you could do is you could have some sort of free gift that you give to everybody who actually shows up to the webinar. So let's say you have some amazing downloadable that you know your people are going to love. Well, let them know that you're going to give it out for free, not just to people who purchase your product. You're going to give it out for free to everybody who shows up to the webinar at the end of the webinar. And you can do that by just having a link to whatever that item is. And in the chat box, drop it into the chat box in the last 10 minutes or whatever of your webinar. And so again, if you make that free gift really, really incredible, dude, you're going to have people come into your webinar for sure, right? Because they want that. So think through the ways in which you can get people to show up for a webinar. Think about your own experience. Like, when have you actually attended the webinars you sign up for? Because I'm sure we all sign up for lots of webinars, but what has made you actually attend the webinars you've attended? and use some of those same strategies for yourself, right? So again, we are being a lot more intentional about creating smart solutions to our potential holes or problems that are happening in our funnel, right? Because we've asked a better question. So that's another data point you can look at. Now let's say you have people coming to the webinar, and then you're moving into like your email sort of sales sequence. Like, what are some of the things you can be looking at then in terms of looking at things from a data perspective? Well, are your emails getting opened, right? That's a really simple metric to go and look at in your email service provider, is what's the percentage of people that are actually opening your emails? Because if that is low, again, this can be an easy fix. Sometimes it's just a matter of changing a subject line, right? Let's test different subject lines and make them more enticing so people are going to want to actually open those emails. And then let's say they are opening the emails. Like, let's say you have a great open rate of like 40% or something. That's a really good email open rate in terms of industry averages. So let's say you have a good email open rate, but you have a really crappy click-through rate, meaning in those emails, in all likelihood, the main call to action is you're driving people to your sales page, right? But what if nobody's clicking the link to go to the sales page? Well, what's that telling you? It's telling you that the messaging and the copy inside of your email isn't resonating well enough. It's not powerful enough to get people to actually click over. So you need to get to work on improving the copy in your emails, right? And simple things like maybe you only linked to your call to action once. Well, can you link to it a few more times, right? Can you have it maybe at the top of the email, sprinkle throughout, and then have it at the bottom in a PS? Or maybe you can also have it in a little colorful button, right? Just making it more sort of readily available for somebody to click through. So those are some of the data points you can start to look at during your actual like email sequence part of your funnel. Then what happens if you're actually getting lots of traffic to your sales page? So the traffic isn't the problem. People are coming to the sales page, but what if they're not actually purchasing, right? When they land on the sales page. So we want to know how many people are coming to the sales page and then how many are converting into buyers from the sales page. And if not many are converting into buyers, well, then you know you have a sales page problem, right? This is where you need to look at, there's a lot of things you can look at on your sales page. First of all, just the overall look and feel and vibe of your sales page needs to look professional. I've seen a lot of really crappy sales pages before that just look, they don't look great. And you don't have to go out and hire some fancy designer. If you use something like Lead Pages, there's some really lovely templates you can use, and you can totally DIY this. So that's the first thing. But the more important thing is like the messaging and the copy throughout your sales page. So again, are you really conveying the benefits and the transformation and the value that your potential customer is going to get when they purchase your offer? Because listing out facts and features of your offer, although you do want to do that somewhere on your sales page, that's not the biggest part of your sales page. The biggest part of your sales page needs to be, you know, showing people what transformation is possible by investing in your product. You want to show them like what life is going to be like on the other side, right? Like what happens when they solve that problem? What happens when those pain points that they're currently experiencing go away? That's what you want to really talk about on your sales page and really paint the picture of what life can look like once, yeah, that problem is solved for them. And then you also want to do things like, people care about social proof, right? So can you have like some testimonials, some case studies, both in written format, in video format, maybe even as screenshots of current students in your Facebook group, right? Or people like past customers who've like written in emails to you about their experience with your product. Like all of those things really go to increasing the conversion rate on your sales page in a really major way. People want to know that others have experienced success with your product, right? That helps them trust that it is something that they should invest in. And then, sure, you want to have like the facts and you know exactly what people get when they purchase your product, but then you want to have other things like you want to have your guarantee written out. So do you offer refunds? Because often, like if you've done everything right in order to create an irresistible offer and somebody really like wants to believe in you and wants to believe in this product and wants to buy it, often the only thing that's actually holding them back from buying is fear. And the way that you can remove that fear is by offering a guarantee, a risk reversal, essentially, right? Where you say you're standing by your product and you're backing it, and you know refunds are available if it doesn't live up to their expectation. And there's all kinds of different ways you can create a guarantee, but it's important to have one there, right? And you know, do you have another way to increase the conversion rate on your sales page is to just have more payment options, right? If you only have one, let's say, pay in full option, it tends to decrease your conversion rate. Whereas if you can have a pay in full option and you can also have a monthly, say, payment plan option that makes it a bit more affordable for people to hop in, and let's say you also anchor those against a VIP option, which is like way more expensive, where they get a bunch of extras. Well, again, that's gonna go to increasing the conversion rate. So, see how there's like so many things on a sales page that you can be doing to increase your conversion rate. So, instead of making these emotional decisions of just like, oh, this product doesn't work, or I launched it didn't sell, or I tried a funnel and it didn't work. Instead of making these kind of blanket statements, well, let's actually look more like let's look under the hood a little bit, right? Like, let's actually look at all of the pieces of the puzzle here. And maybe it's just one of those elements that I've just talked through where the actual problem lay. And so maybe all of the other pieces of the puzzle actually did work, and it was just this one thing that you needed to kind of tweak and fix and improve, right? So the moment we can have that mindset shift to becoming the data-driven entrepreneur who's making smart CEO decisions about their business, right? That's the moment when you're going to start to look at everything differently, and you're going to start to really be able to have big traction in your business, make big leaps forward, and really move that needle. So that wraps up today's episode, guys. I know numbers aren't always the sexiest thing to talk about, but they can really make such a giant difference in your business. So if you've enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you could leave us a review and a rating on iTunes. It really helps us to spread the word about the podcast and continue making this free content for you. And if you happen to be on Instagram and you've been listening to this episode, snap a pic of you listening, tag me on Instagram. It's at gemma.bonhamcarter. Let me know what your biggest aha or takeaway was from this episode. Maybe you already are like really data-driven as an entrepreneur. I would love to hear about that. Maybe you are like too scared to look at your numbers and this is going to encourage you to actually start. Let me know if that's the case. If you have any questions, always like hit me up in my Instagram DMs. That's where I hang out the most on a daily basis, and I would love to connect with you over there. That's it for this episode. I'll see you next week.